Content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. March feels like an awakening, not the kind that arrives with an alarm or fireworks, but with a whisper. The days stretch a little longer, the air shifts. Even if nothing in your life has changed yet, something in you might be ready for a change. This is Nicole McMahon with the North Carolina Reading Service, and on this segment of Flavor, in honor of welcoming spring this month, we're talking about renewal, and in particular, renewal of the mind. Because the truth is, your brain is not fixed, your thinking is not permanent, and the way that you experience your life can change, one choice at a time. We're going to start with the science of neuroplasticity, how new experiences shape your brain, then move into mindset, because what you repeatedly think becomes what you believe to be true. And from there, we'll talk about purpose. Not as something you magically find, but something you deliberately form. Due to the time constraints of this segment, all the articles read will be abbreviated. So let's begin. I'll start with something empowering, something that puts real control back into your hands. This first article informs you of the latest discoveries being made in neuroplasticity. Thus, the article is named Neuroplasticity: How new experiences impact your brain. Your brain is changing every day by your choices, habits, and environment. Here's what you need to know. By Lisa Bain, published October 2nd, 2024. When it comes to defining neuroplasticity, there is a little quiz that neuroscientist Sandra Bond Chapman, PhD, likes to pose. Think about how much control you have over changing the health of your heart, your brain, and your teeth. What order would you put those in? Meaning, which of those do you think you have the most control over in terms of improving how well they work? If you're like most people, you'll say teeth, heart, then brain, says Dr. Chapman, the chief director of Center for Brain Health at the University of Texas at Dallas. But it's actually the opposite. Brain, heart, teeth. The brain is more changeable than our teeth. We care for our teeth several times a day. If we care for our brain that much, it will be phenomenal. And that, says Dr. Chapman, is neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity means that our brain systems, the neurons and the connections between them, are highly modifiable. And they modified is by how we use our brain, she says. The old thinking was that your brain is fixed and set pretty much after adolescence, and nothing could be further from the truth. Our brain changes moment by moment by everything we think, create, and feel. Neuroplasticity just means it's changing, and it can change in good ways or bad ways. The Brilliant Network. A quick simplified 101 on the brain. Neurons are nerve cells. Electrical signals are sent from neuron to neuron via a vast network of connections between them. It's those connections that allow us to think and feel emotions. The brain's network is vast and complicated and made up of 120 billion neurons. Neuroplasticity is the ability of your brain to make new neural pathways and change the ones that already exist in response to changes in your behavior and environment. It's also what lets the brain rewire itself after damaging effects of a stroke or other traumatic events that have impact on a person's abilities. Dr. Chapman is the co-leader of the Brain Health Project at the Center for Brain Health. A scientific study to measure people's ability to affect their brain fitness. She explains that there are different levels of how the brain specifically changes in response to stimuli. For instance, how the different neurons communicate with each other, how fast the brain sends signals can change, says Dr. Chapman. You know, when you're having trouble finding a thought or word, your brain speed is a little bit sluggish. Let's say you haven't slept well. The speed of connectivity across the different networks works more slowly, and you feel those changes rapidly the next morning. This is an example, she points out, of neuroplasticity and how quickly the brain can change as a result of the behavior and other stimuli. Along with the connectivity of neurons, Dr. Chapman adds, neurochemicals change too. You got these connections that are wired together, but the signals are sent through chemicals called neurotransmitters, and those can change too by how you use your brain. You're changing the neurochemistry of your brain by how you use it. Wellness for your mind. Brain science is constantly exploding and evolving, but current research shows various ways neuroplasticity is influenced. Chronic stress, for example, has been shown in studies to have a negative impact, and a healthy diet and regular exercise and good sleep habits have been shown to have a positive effect. Dr. Chapman believes that multitasking is a particularly toxic habit when it comes to brain health. When you're multitasking, you're fraying the connectivity, she says. The brain is designed to focus on one thing at a time. When you multitask, you're asking your brain to toggle between tasks. Also toxic for the brain is constant distractions. For example, not being able to focus for more than 3 minutes. That's the average time people can attend to a task now because of how we use technology. Another key idea in Brain Health Project is what Dr. Chapman called big idea thinking. That's what allows your brain to strengthen those frontal lobe networks and to continuously build a stronger functioning brain, she says. Taking in two information, making the brain kind of a shallow processor. So big idea thinking is when you take in less information and do more with it, go deeper with it, and synthesize it. What are the themes? What is the essence? How do I apply it? That makes your thinking more robust, and then you remember it more. Actually, changing your brain network in very dramatic ways. There's so much more that scientists will learn about the brain in years to come, but in the meantime, research shows that there's much that is already known about how to amp up its working. Check out our 21-day brain health challenge for a simple, specific way you can boost your brain health. The brain is a complex organ, says Dr. Chapman, but it's simple. Simple steps that change it every single day. So now once we understand this, once we accept that the brain is changeable, the next question becomes, what are we doing with that power? Because your brain isn't only shaped by what happens to you, it is shaped by what you repeatedly focus on. And that brings us to mindset. Our mindsets are the assumptions we carry, the expectations we hold, and the lens we see life through. Thus, our next article is Your Powerful Changeable Mindset. Your Mindset Affects Your Worldview by author Mia Prumo, September 15, 2021. You see life through your own unique lens. This is your mindset, the assumptions and expectations you hold about your life, yourself, and the situations around you. Research shows that mindsets play a significant role in determining life's outcomes. By understanding, adapting, and shifting your mindset, you can improve your health, decrease your stress, and become more resilient to life's challenges. To learn more about mindsets and how to change them, Be Well, the health and wellness resource for the Stanford community, spoke to Dr. Jacob Torrey, adjunct clinical instructor in the Department of Psychiatry at Stanford University. Mindsets help you to simplify. Mindsets are the assumptions that help you distill complex worldviews into digestible information and then set expectations based on that input. For example, you may believe that becoming sick with cancer would be catastrophic, or that going on a diet would be challenging and depriving. These belief systems help you to set expectations, plan for the worst, and guide decisions based on these assumptions. Mindsets can be helpful for distilling information and managing expectations. They also can be maladaptive, lead to interpersonal problems and the feelings of guilt, inadequacy, sadness, and anxiety. Dr. Torrey observes that it is common to hold on to mindsets that were adapted at one point in life but have become maladaptive since then. For example, it might have been helpful to believe that others cannot be trusted if you were betrayed at a young age.
but this belief may lead to interpersonal issues at a later stage of life. Dr. Tour reassures, the good news is mindsets are highly changeable, and if you're willing to learn the technology of changing your mindset and defeating your distorted thoughts, you can have significantly more happiness. Having a fixed or growth mindset affects your worldview. You may have heard of fixed and growth mindsets. These terms were coined by Stanford researcher and Professor Carol Dweck, PhD, to describe belief systems about your ability to change, grow, and develop over time. If you believe your qualities are essentially unchangeable or fixed, you may be less open to mistakes because setbacks are seen as inherent and impinging on future success. For example, if you have a fixed mindset and have trouble connecting with others at an event, you may see this as evidence that you will never be able to socially connect, leading to social anxiety and avoidance. With a growth mindset, you know that you can change over time and therefore you are more open to reflect, learn, and grow from challenges. Because failure is less threatening, you are more willing to embrace life's challenges, take feedback as learning opportunities, and continue to learn and grow throughout life. With a growth mindset, you are less likely to personalize setbacks. For example, in the scenario above, you might reflect that the cause of your social difficulty had more to do with the environment at the event than a personal inability to socialize. Mindsets can impact your reality. Another example how mindsets affect physiologically was shown in 2012 study on the association between stress perception, health, and mortality. Kelly McGonigal referenced the study in her 2013 TED Talk, explaining that participants who experienced high levels of stress had an increased risk of death, but only if they believed stress to be harmful. Those who experienced high levels of stress but did not see it as harmful were less likely to die. McGonigal encourages developing more positive mindsets around stress and to perceive your body's physiological responses to stress, like a pounding heart and racing mind, as your body's natural response to rise to the challenge and overcome it, as opposed to a signal that something is wrong. Dr. Torrey points out that the impact of mindset on the effects of medications. There's a powerful phenomenon in medicine known as the placebo effect, in which if someone believes they're going to derive benefits from taking a particular medication, they often do. In fact, regardless of the disease or condition, about 30 to 40% of people can have significant improvement in their symptoms even when taking a placebo if they believe that the pill is going to be helpful. Science is beginning to validate the power of the mind-body relationship. Mindsets matter, so it's important to pay attention to your belief systems, where they come from, how valid they are, and how they impact your quality of life. You can change your mindset. Although your mindset about topics like appearance and success are largely influenced by outside factors, the brain is neuroplastic, meaning neural networks can continue to grow, change, and reorganize throughout the lifespan. By challenging yourself with new experiences and perspectives, you can form new neural connections or mindsets at any point in life. Even a fixed mindset is not set in stone. You can change your mindset by learning and consciously choosing to believe that your characteristics are not predetermined and that you can continue to grow over time. Dr. Torrey says that the most rewarding part of his work is helping people transform distorted beliefs like, I'm a failure, to more realistic thoughts like, I didn't perform well, but I can better prepare next time and it will probably go much better. Torrey encourages questioning self-defeating thoughts and creating new narratives that are more self-serving. If you develop a growth mindset, setbacks can become learning opportunities, and there is always another chance to and feel better. This concludes the article. There's a quote often attributed to Mark Twain. The two most important days in your life are the day that you're born and the day you find out why. This brings us to our next topic, purpose. I'm going to read a blog from self-development guru Tony Robbins' website called How to Find Your Purpose. And what I like about this piece is that it doesn't treat purpose like a mystery. It treats it like something you build step by step through growth, clarity, and action. And now the finale, How to Find Your Purpose. Many people spend life reacting to the world instead of actively shaping their lives based on the purpose, needs, and values that drive them. Often, their purpose might just be a short-term goal. For example, achieving goals like buying a house or opening a business can yield a sense of achievement and might even be part of the life you desire. But purpose is about something greater. Purpose takes goals to an even higher level and adds meaning to life. The truth is that only two things prevent you from answering the question, what is my purpose? Number one, fear, and two, limiting beliefs. Fear is one of the biggest obstacles to finding your purpose. The fear of failure, rejection, and the fear of not being enough. Fear holds us back from keeping us from fulfilling our deepest human needs. To find your purpose, you have to move past fear. But part of overcoming fear is reframing your obstacles from something that holds us back to something that can inspire us to seek growth, success, and fulfillment. Limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs, or the stories we tell ourselves about who we are simply another form of fear. Limiting beliefs can either hold us back or propel us forward towards fulfillment. Knowing your purpose and why it matters. Science shows that finding your purpose is linked to positive health behaviors. It can even help you live longer. One study found that participants without a strong sense of meaning in their lives were more likely to die early compared to those who had a clear purpose in life. Having a sense of purpose also reduces the incidence of heart disease like heart attacks and strokes. These events were universal, even when controlled for income, race, gender, and education level. Achieving goals may not help you find purpose in life, but knowing your purpose can help you achieve your goals. When you clearly know your purpose, you'll easily experience a sense of clarity like never before. You'll feel passionate, driven, and laser-focused. You'll stop battling with the past and the future and start living in the present, and that's the greatest gift you can give yourself. Knowing your purpose in life has many benefits, but how can you figure it out? The road to happiness and a life meaning comes from combining the science of achievement with the art of fulfillment. Mastering the balance of these two will help you succeed in finding your purpose. Number one, understanding where you are now. The question, what is my purpose in life and how can I be happy, both have the same answer because you can never be truly happy unless you find a purpose that makes you feel alive inside. So, the first step is to know where you currently are in life. What's important to you in life? What are your current beliefs? Which of those beliefs are limiting you? Which ones are empowering beliefs? What's something that means a lot to you? Once you get a sense of where you are on your journey, your purpose will become more clear. Number two, focus on purpose-driven goals rather than short-term goals. Where focus goes, energy flows. If you focus only on achieving short-term goals, you will only get short-term results when it comes to fulfillment and never learn how to find your purpose. Your goals must always be aligned with your purpose. If they're not, they won't be meaningful and you will only feel a fleeting source of accomplishment. You won't be able to see that life is happening for you instead of to you. When you set a goal, always start with why, not how. Why do you want to achieve it? How does this relate to your ultimate life purpose? Number three, cultivate an abundant mindset. When we stop growing, we start feeling pain, fear, and anxiety. That fear might show up as envy as we look at what someone else has that we don't. Questions like, what is my purpose in life? Degrade into a mindset where we start coveting status, material goods, and power. But without an empowering purpose, all those things will ultimately leave you feeling empty. The solution? Develop an abundant mindset. An abundant mindset is when you see beauty and goodness all around you. When you focus on what you do have, fear disappears and abundance appears. 4, give to something bigger than yourself. Humans were created to live in community. Giving and contributing are two of our deepest human needs because we thrive off living and working together. In our quest to unlock an extraordinary life that others dream of, we cannot ignore that real growth only occurs when we look beyond ourselves. To grow, we must give to something bigger than our own wants and desires. 5, throw out your blueprint. Do you feel like you're just living a script of your life? That's because we all have a blueprint, a set of beliefs about how life works that comes from our friends, family, parents, and society. It might say that you'll have this invigorating feeling if you achieve a certain thing, but an extraordinary life is a life on your own terms where you decide how you want to live. 6, think about what brings you joy. Now that you've shaken off the expectations of others, it's time to make a new blueprint. Look back at your life and identify when you felt the most joy. Your skills are connected to that sense of joy, so examine those skills too. Can you pick up a pencil and sketch a lifelike portrait? Do your friends tell you that you're a great listener? When you look closely at the activities or skills that come naturally and bring you joy, you'll find some passions you can turn into a profitable career. 7, find your gift. Who are you in your core? What are your real gifts that are going to fulfill you? We all have different gifts of labor that we can give, but there's one primary drive that we tend to return to that makes us feel fulfilled. These gifts tend to fall into one or three patterns. You could have the gift of being an artist, an entrepreneur, or a manager. Knowing which one you are can help you answer the question, what is my purpose? Artists don't have to use sketchbooks. Instead, channel your love of creativity into creating something like computer code, interior designs, or connections between people. Managers and leaders who have a gift of managing people and processes often love working with people and processes. While entrepreneurs are big thinkers and risk takers, which fulfills their need for growth and risk and pairs it with economic success. Sometimes it can take thinking outside the box and applying our gifts in ways we don't think of at first before we can find our true fulfillment, growth, and happiness. 8, write your story. Writing helps us to organize our thoughts and discover new perspectives we may have never realized. It's proven to help us reach goals, improve memory, and decrease stress, which are essential when learning how to find your purpose. Putting your life in writing can reveal hidden meaning by giving you a different perspective on life. Start with this exercise. What strengths do you have that have helped you get through tough times? How have you helped others? And how have others helped you? Write it all down and you begin to see patterns that can help you find your purpose. 9, visualize your future. Everything in your external world once started in your internal world. It began as a thought, a feeling, or something you imagine. So when you're asking, what is my purpose, answer it by visualizing what an ideal life would look like for you. How are you helping others? How do you fit in making the world a better place? What steps are you taking to move the needle forward? Creating a life vision statement involves identifying what life would look like if everyone lived to their fullest potential. This will help you develop a roadmap to guide you in proper direction. Then, use visualization techniques to bring this vision to life in your mind. Picture it in much detail as you can. Hear the sounds and smell the smells of your extraordinary life. 10, discover your true needs. When asking themselves, what is my purpose in life, some people don't know where to start. If you fall into this category, it helps to examine the 6 human needs. 1, certainty. 2, love and connection. 3, significance. 4, variety. 5, growth. And 6, contribution. They affect every decision you make. A lack of awareness of your own needs can lead you with a false sense of purpose. This might be the reason why you can't reach the top of the career ladder or find your perfect partner. It can also explain why you can be in the best shape of your life but still not feel happy. 11, take time for yourself. What is my purpose is a profound question. It takes time and reflection. When you run from one commitment to another, you never have time to sit quietly and reconnect with yourself. Make sure you can schedule enough personal time to reduce the noise and demands of the outer world and focus on what you want. When you feel depleted, searching for meaning, take a deep breath and center yourself. Take time for self-care, whether that's a spa day or reading a book in the park. It's by looking within that you're able to identify your values, the belief you hold most dear as your guiding force in life. You won't understand how to find your purpose without first stepping back and relaxing. 12. Practice self-compassion. Part of finding your purpose is accepting your limitations. Instead of getting frustrated with yourself, give yourself a break. Get to know yourself bit by bit, taking the role of an observer. As you practice self-compassion while building self-awareness, you can find the meaning you seek. Self-compassion means being patient with yourself. Feeling lost in life can be a very disorienting feeling. You may feel frustrated, but be gentle with yourself. Everyone who has ever asked themselves, "What is my purpose?" began from a place of uncertainty. And last, build your community. Finding your purpose in life is often about discovering where you fit in. When we meet our people, we feel like we are home, relaxed, at ease, and able to be our true selves. Your community can help you discover how to find your purpose or live it once you have found it. Putting your purpose into action. Learning how to find your purpose isn't the end of the journey. Fulfillment is when you continue growing and transforming your purpose into action to create an extraordinary life. It's a moving target. You have to continue trying, failing, and growing all throughout your time on Earth. The first step towards success and fulfillment is to set compelling goals. Take your life vision statement, that ultimate vision of what you want your life to be, and break it down into smaller goals. You can achieve into 1, 3, and 5 years. Once you have those goals set, break them down even further into using a SMART goal strategy. Make sure every goal connects back to your purpose in life, then hold yourself accountable for achieving your goals. As you achieve even the smallest goals, you will start a cycle of success. You will get addicted to growth, and you will continue to improve each and every day as you work and push towards something bigger and better than what fulfilled you the day before. And before you know it, you'll be living your purpose every day. In closing, March reminds us that renewal doesn't have to be dramatic to be real. Your brain is shaped by what you practice. Your mind is shaped by what you repeatedly tell yourself. And your purpose is shaped by what you decide to build on purpose. So if you've been waiting for a sign to change, let this be it. With one thought, one choice, one new step at a time. I am Nicole McMahon, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. And this has been Flavor. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is now available as a podcast on our website at NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening, and so long until the next time.